And we may be letting Jesus lead, and we may be walking in his footsteps, but pretty soon we look over and he's walking beside us. And pretty soon we look over and he's actually behind us. And we've taken back some of the things that we should be allowing him to lead us in. Amen? You ever do that? No? Yes? Yeah? If we're to be totally honest this morning, we do that all the time, right? I do that. I'm going along, and you know, it's really hard seeking God's will, isn't it? It's difficult.
Thank you for listening to the Calhoun Baptist Church podcast with Pastor Mark Abney. Brother Mark preached out of Galatians chapter 5 in his sermon titled, Walking in the Spirit. And now, Brother Mark.
Amen. When Baptists dance. I seen y'all. Amen. Well, who knows what the message was on last week? Why? Amen. Why stands for yield. And I thought we might dwell there a while. How about that? Let's open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. And while you're turning there, stand to your feet, and I'll read a little bit of this, and then we'll sit down and read the rest. Galatians 5, beginning in verse 16. But I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh has desires that are opposed to the Spirit, and the Spirit has desires that are opposed to the flesh. For these are in opposition to each other, so that you cannot do what you want. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. We thank you that it's good for correction and reproof and for righteous living. Lord, I pray that you'd take your word and put it in our hearts, that we might not sin against you. I pray that you would take your word and put it in our hearts, that we might apply it to daily living. Lord, help us as we move through the process of sanctification, and as we yield to you, that you bless our lives. And as you bless us, Lord, may we be grateful and thankful for all that you do for us. And all these things I pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. So continuing on in that passage of Scripture, it says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious. The works of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, we have a laundry list here. Sexual immorality, impurity, depravity, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, strife, jealousies, outburst of anger, selfish rivalries, dissensions, factions, envying, murder, drunkenness, carousing, and similar things. Was there anything left out? I mean, when you think about all the evil that's going on in the world, all the sin, was there anything in that laundry list that didn't cover it? And it's pretty complete, right? Pretty complete. Well, let's go on. It says, I am warning you, as I had warned you before, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, we're going to see the laundry list for the fruits of the Spirit, which is in opposition to the flesh, right? It says that they war against each other. They're different, okay? So here's the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How about that? Is that not directly opposite to the other laundry list that we just mentioned? These are the good things in life, right? The things that we're all wanting out of life. And these are the things that we pursue in life. Sometimes we don't pursue them the right way. And if we would go the right way, we would receive these as blessings in life, but we try to pursue them on our own, and they don't come that way. They come by the Spirit. By the Spirit. That's where you get these. So it goes on to say, now those It goes on to say this, against such, against this laundry list, there is no laws. What's that mean? That means that you can do all of these things and you never break the law because there's no laws that are written against these fruits of the Spirit. There's no law written that says you can't love someone else. Is there? There's no law written that says you can't have joy. There's no law written that says you can't have peace and pursue peace. There's no laws against these. Is there laws against the other laundry list? Absolutely. Every law that's written is against one of them categories in that other list. So we already see the difference between the two lists. The fruits of the flesh, there's laws against that. The fruits of the Spirit, there's no laws against them. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also behave in accordance with the Spirit, and let us not become conceited, provoking on one another, being jealous to one another. So it's saying there that those of us who have been saved have crucified the flesh, how? By the Spirit. How did we get the Spirit? Well, you get the Spirit of God when you say yes to Jesus Christ. When you say, Jesus, I believe that you're God's Son. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I'm a sinner, and I need you to come in and cleanse me from all unrighteousness, and I want to make you Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me. And when you pray that prayer, you get the Spirit. Now, the Spirit is not a thing. It's not a thing. The Spirit is a person. It's a person. It is the person of God in the Spirit, and there's a Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said that when you ask Him to come into your life, you will receive the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. And the person of the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. Now, when you get saved, you get all of the Holy Spirit you're ever going to get. Because it's a person. You get Him, and He lives inside you. Okay? You don't go along in life and get more and more Spirit. You got Him all. You got the whole ball of wax, the whole nine yards, however you want to look at it. You got Him. He lives in you. So when you're saved, He lives inside of you, and you have the ability then to crucify the flesh. That means kill the flesh. That means kill that laundry list that comes from walking according to our flesh. And if we have the power inside of us to kill that laundry list that comes from walking in the flesh, we also have the power inside of us to walk according to the Spirit and have them fruits of the Spirit. Now, who wants to have the fruits of the flesh? Nobody's hand went up. Who wants to have the fruits of the Spirit? Amen? We all want that. That's what we all want. So how do we get that? How do we actually make that practical living? How do you do that? Well, that's a real good question, isn't it? Because I think if we was to ask Christians, if we was to poll Christians, not like some of these political polls that are out there, if we was to truly poll all Christians and ask them, what's the most desired thing that you could ask for in living a life for Jesus Christ as a Christian? And they would say this, it's to know God's will for my life. I think that's the most asked question of all Christians. What's God's will for my life? How can I know that I'm doing what God wants me to do? And you know, I was reading something the other day about surrender. And as Christians, we're to be surrendered to Jesus Christ, right? Totally surrendered. What's the universal sign of surrender? Huh? White flag's one. What's another one? I think Vernon had it. Show us, Vernon. That's it. Amen. If someone comes to you with a gun, what do you do? He put your hands up. I surrender. What's that mean? That means that you're giving them control over you, right? Amen? Well, when we surrender to the Spirit, we're saying that we give the Spirit control over our life. And that's what we do when we ask Jesus to come into our heart. We're saying, you got me. I'm all yours. I'm sold out. I'm surrendered. It's like writing a blank check and giving it to Jesus. You know, nothing's filled in. You just sign it and give it to him. And you're saying, whatever you want to do, it's up to you. Okay? So that's what it's like. And we need to do that. And we do. We do that when we ask Jesus to come into our heart. But sometimes we end up taking back some things. And we may be letting Jesus lead, and we may be walking in his footsteps, but pretty soon we look over and he's walking beside us. And pretty soon we look over and he's actually behind us. And we've taken back some of the things that we should be allowing him to lead us in. Amen? You ever do that? No? Yes? Yeah? If we're to be totally honest this morning, we do that all the time, right? I do that. I'm going along, and you know, it's really hard seeking God's will, isn't it? It's difficult. If this article I was reading, it was about a college student, a girl that was getting ready to go to college, and she had full rides at three different colleges, and so she was praying and she was saying, God, I need to know which college you want me to go to, and she never got an answer. And so eventually, her time ran out. She had to pick a college to go to, and she went to that college. Have you ever been there? Have you ever said, I need to go to Columbia this week, Lord. I need to know, do you want me to go through Sedalia or Warrensburg to get there? Do you ever do that? Or is it just me? I mean, do you ever actually seek God's path in the way you're going? The choices that you're making? And do you always get an answer? You know, it's tough, isn't it? It's tough. So how does that play out? How do we live in the Spirit and do these things, make these choices and follow God? Well, I want to throw this out. Listen to this. The average lifespan today in America is about 75 years. They've upped that. It's getting more and more all the time. So it may be more time you and I get there, but right now it's around 75 years. That's 900 months, if I was doing the math correctly. I know y'all don't like math, some of you, but about 900 months. Do you know that one-third of your life you spend sleeping? Sleeping. One-third. Some of you more. Some of you less. So that's, you got 600 months left. 600 months. Well, you'll spend about 110 months of your life working at an occupation somewhere. And that's, so now you got 490 months left of your life. You're going to spend 72 months of your life eating. And if you spend 72 months of your life eating, guess what? You're going to spend about 18 months of your life on the toilet. Sorry, that's just life, amen? Some more, some less. That leaves you with about 400 months left. Well, your time's getting shorter all the time, right? Well, most people is going to spend about 40 months of their life in education. That's 15 years, so that's not, you know, that's not 16 like you was full college, but that would be like a regular 12 years, some maybe some tech school or something else, or some adult education later. So that leaves you with 460 months. Something happened there. Well, you're gonna spend 5 years of your life waiting in line. Imagine that. 5 years of your life you're going to wait in line. Of that 5 years waiting in line, just for your information, you're going to spend 3 months waiting at traffic lights. That kind of hurts, doesn't it? I knew I didn't like traffic lights waiting in line for some reason. Most people today spend about 10 months of their life on the internet. That leaves you with about 390 months. You're going to spend about 48 months of your life doing domestic duties. That's cleaning house, cooking, laundry, all that kind of stuff. So that leaves you with 342 months. You're going to spend 12 months of your life retrieving lost things. Some of you more, some of you less. Yeah, she's pointing at me because I lose everything all the time. I lost my glasses the other day. And she says, you're always losing your glasses. Well, they're not attached to my head. So I take them off, I lay them down, and I don't know where I left them. But that's life. So some of you more, some of you left. But now you're down to 330 months. You're going to spend 30 months of your life in sports and leisure. That might be like camping, vacation, climbing a mountain, whitewater rafting, fishing, whatever it is. So that leaves you with 300 months. I looked this up. People today spend about an average of 130 months of their life watching TV. Well, that leaves you with 170 months of your life left to do whatever with. So let's look at this. If you went to church 2 hours a week, you're going to spend 164 months of your life at church. That equates to your total time of 75 years at 0.06% of your life that you spend at church. Of your waking time, that's 1% of your life. So living the Spirit-filled life has to be more than church, amen? Has to be more than just church, because that's just 1% of your life. If you're just spending 1% of your life living for the Lord, then you're not sold out. You're not surrendered, right? Amen? So I know this kind of, when you look at it this way, it kind of puts everything in perspective. All of a sudden, we're starting to see our lives unfold and how we really, what we really do in life and where we're placing our emphasis. So if you took this math right here and you said, how can I do that and live a Spirit-filled life? That's a really good question. And I think we have to look at it this way. Ephesians 5, 15 through 21 says, therefore, be careful how you live. You have to be careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, taking advantage of every opportunity, because the days are evil. The days are evil. Does everybody agree that we live in evil times? Yeah. If you don't, just turn the news on tomorrow and listen. We live in evil times. In fact, if you would look at that laundry list of living in the flesh, you could just listen to every news item and put it in one of them categories, right? Because it's all about fleshly living. Rarely do you see anything about living in the Spirit on the news. But it says that we have to be careful how we live, and we have to live wisely as God's children so that we take advantage of every opportunity, because the days are evil. It says, for this reason, do not be foolish, but be wise by understanding what the Lord's will is. How do we know what God's will is? Because He wrote it down. Amen? And He gave you a copy of it. And you got it, so you can read it and you can know what God's will is. This isn't rocket science, right? And if you don't like reading much, just turn to Exodus and read the Ten Commandments. And if you don't like reading that much, you can just turn to Matthew and read there's two laws. That if you just follow these two laws, you'll be all right. If we could just do that. That's love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Them two things. You just do them two things. And everything else in the Bible will fall in place. And so he says that we should not be foolish, but be wise and understand God's word. Understand it. Read it. Understand it. And he says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. I wonder why Paul used that phrase. Do you think he used that phrase because he didn't want you drinking wine? Now, he used that phrase because he wants you to understand that when you're intoxicated with alcohol, alcohol takes over your whole body. In fact, if you drink enough alcohol, you have surrendered to the alcohol. And it will remove all inhibitions in you, and you will do things you never would do when you was not under the influence of alcohol. You see that? It takes total control of your body. And so he's using this phrase. He says, don't let alcohol take control of your body, but like alcohol does, be filled with the Spirit and allow the Spirit of God to intoxicate you. Does that make sense? Because when you're intoxicated by the Spirit of God, them fruits of the Spirit are going to come forth. And that's the only way that you can get the fruits of the Spirit to come out of you is by allowing the Holy Spirit to intoxicate you. Now, if you're going to get intoxicated on alcohol, what are you going to have to do? You are going to have to ingest it into your body, right? Amen? You have to drink it. Well, if you're going to get intoxicated on the Spirit of God, you're going to have to what? You're going to have to ingest it. You're going to have to read it. You're going to have to put it inside of you and think on it and live it and regurgitate it. And it has to be part of you. And so if we're going to live a Spirit-filled life, we have to be intoxicated by the Spirit so that in all these things that we are doing that takes our month when we're sleeping, we're thinking on the things of God. Do you do that? When God gets you up at 2 in the morning and you can't sleep, do you say, what do you want, Lord? And you go in and you look in your Word and you read a devotion or something and you try to get maybe why God woke you up at 2 a.m. Do you think that way? I mean, seriously. I think that's what it's saying there, that when we're waiting in line at Walmart and the line's long and there's only two checkout aisles open and there's 17 of them up there and we're sitting there and we're so mad and we say, why? Why don't you open up another one? What is wrong with you people? Should we not be saying, God, who did you put in front of me and behind me in this long line that you want me to talk to? It's a mindset. It's a different way of thinking about how we live. When we're sleeping, when we're working and we're working at this job that we think is one of the dirtiest jobs that ought to be on that TV show, dirtiest jobs that this guy goes and does in this reality show, and we're thinking, why did you put me in this job? I hate this job. I don't want to come to work anymore. Should we not be thinking, God, which of these coworkers do you want me to share my story with? Living in the Spirit is all about doing the things that we go through life doing in a mindset that's filtered through the Spirit-filled life. As we live our life, we live it out according to God's will. And what's God's will? It's His Word. So which college do I choose? Choose one. And then go to that college and say, God, why did you put me here? What do you want me to do? Put someone in my path today. Show me which career path you want me to take that I might be able to tell my story. and share Jesus Christ with the lost and dying world. Do not be drunk with wine, but which is debauchery. Debauchery is chaos. Debauchery is foolishness. Debauchery is corruption. Debauchery is senseless living. But be filled with the Spirit and speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making music in your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for each other in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Yielding to each other out of reverence for Christ. Surrendering to each other out of reverence for Christ. Letting others go ahead of you out of reverence for Christ. This verse tells us how to be surrendered in life. He says, be wise and take advantage of the opportunities because everything in life is an opportunity to share your story. And think of it that way. Say, instead of getting mad and saying, what's going on? Why is this happening to me? Thank God, why have you placed me here? What am I supposed to do? Show me. Put that person there that I need to speak with. So take advantage of all the opportunities. Even if they're bad circumstances, it's an opportunity. Amen? Sometimes we see bad circumstances as just what they are. This is terrible. Oh, me. Woe is me. Why am I here? Why did this happen to me? And we dwell on that instead of dwelling on Lord, why am I in this emergency room today? Who's sitting beside me here that needs to hear about you? Lord, why am I in this long line? Lord, why have you put me in this circumstance? What is it you want from me here? Did you ever wonder about Paul? Paul says, I have learned to become content in all circumstances. He was in jail. He was whipped with a cat of nine tails. He was lost in the ocean and considered dead at sea, and they floated up to an island. And all kinds of things happened to him. And Paul says, I've not always been content in these circumstances, but he says, I've learned to. Oh, there's that process of sanctification. You know, as we live life, sometimes our circumstances overwhelm us and they take us away from God. But what we ought to be doing is allowing our circumstances to push us closer to Him. Allow the circumstances in life to direct your path and know that that's God's will for you. For all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Amen? And if we think about that verse, we think all things are good. God's got me here for a reason. There's a reason my fishing boat sank and I'm here in the middle of Truman Lake. There's a reason for it. I don't know what it is right now, but there's a reason I fished all day without one bite. There's a reason for all the things that happened to me. And when we start to look at it like that, we're living the Spirit-filled life because we're allowing the Spirit to tell us how to live. We filter everything through our Christian worldview and allow the Spirit to dominate everything in our life. Secondly, he says, know what God's will is for your life. Know what God's will is. How do we know that? We read God's Word. We spend time with Him. We pray. We seek His face. Not only do we pray, but we listen. Do you know prayer is a dialogue? It's not a monologue. It's a dialogue. You talk to God and He talks to you. It's a dialogue. Remember that. God gave you one mouth and two ears. That's so you'll listen more. You need to listen to God because He's got something He wants to say to you. So thirdly, do not be controlled by a foreign substance like alcohol, but be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to control your life. Don't try to control your life yourself, Christian. You got the Holy Spirit who has more power living inside of you that's got a better ideal on how you should be living. Amen? Live according to the Spirit. Speak to each other in spiritual ways. Building each other up in the Lord. Speak to each other in psalms. What's psalms? Well, that's that book in your Bible. And Psalms is full of all kinds of good things to say to each other. Just read a little bit of it. And then there's Proverbs. Look at that. Proverbs has very good stuff for wise living. Amen. Be thankful and grateful for all the believers. Be thankful for each one. And put others before yourself. Submit to others. Practical ways to live in the Spirit. Embrace your identity. Grab hold of who you are in Christ. Understand that you are a spirit who has a soul and you live in a body. And the Bible says we're children of God, meaning that we have an eternal parent that cares for you, is on your side and is cheering for you and wants you to live righteously. Embrace your identity. Secondly, deny your flesh. It says that one verse we read said, crucify your flesh. Kill it. Stomp it out. Say no to the flesh. Because the flesh wants to live out that other laundry list, remember? Not the good laundry list, the bad one. So allow your spirit to say no to your flesh. Every time you do this, you're asserting spiritual dominion and letting your flesh know that God is in control of your life and that you are not. Kingdom thinking. Jesus tells us to seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of heaven, and the rest of the things will fall in place. Kingdom thinking. This means prioritizing our thought life around the kingdom of God, thinking about the things God thinks about, concerning your heart with the things God's concerned about, fashioning your patterns after what Jesus did, and we read about in his word. And then thinking about the things Paul teaches in Philippians 4:8, all things that are true and lovely and of good report, if there be any virtue, think on these things. Think on the good things. Put the good thoughts in your mind. Watch and pray is the next one. Pray and listen. Have you ever talked to someone that dominated the conversation and you never got another word in? And as you were, if they let you talk, when you were speaking to them, you could tell that they wasn't even thinking about what you was saying, but they was thinking about what they was going to tell you next. Yeah. I wonder if that's how God thinks about us at times when we pray, because we pray and tell God what we need and we walk away. Avoid strife. Walk in the Spirit means walking in harmony with God and others. Guard your heart and tongue from gossip and bickering and bitterness and conflict. Learn to rest in Christ, and He will fight your battles. You just need to be still. Self-examination. And these are all things that are in Celebrate Recovery, by the way, and maintaining recovery. But self-examination, allow the Word of God to examine you. Get real with yourself and put yourself on the altar. That was part of admitting, right? Admitting your faults. Just coming clean. Know your weakness. This is important and cannot be overlooked, because you must learn your weaknesses. Because the truth is, the enemy knows where your weakness is. And that's where he's going to attack. So understanding this area and yielding them to the Holy Spirit will strengthen you and help you discern and avoid temptations. Finally, remember your helper. Remember your helper. The Holy Spirit is your best friend. And God gave him to you for a reason. He put him there in your heart so that you might hear his voice and not live according to the flesh, but live according to the Spirit. Learn to lean on Him. And remember, Jesus sent Him to walk along your side with you in everything that you go through on earth. Take your troubles to Him daily. Some days will be better than others, but He's there to keep you on the straight path. That's His job. Let Him do it. Allow Him to. So, let's talk about Spirit-filled. How do I get filled with the Spirit? Well, if you got all of the Holy Spirit you're ever going to get on the day you said yes to Jesus, then how do I get more of Him? You don't. You don't get more of Him. The Spirit-filled life is all about who's in control. Are you in control? Or is the Spirit in control? The more you give the Spirit, the more Spirit-filled you're going to be. Does that make sense? So it's relinquishing control. So anything that I've taken control of, just give it back to the Spirit. And the Spirit will have more of you. And if you want the Spirit to have all of you, give Him everything. In all things. In all things, allow the Spirit to control you. This is how you're filled with the Spirit. So if you're going to be filled with the Spirit and you're going to allow the Spirit to control you, you're going to have to spend time with the Spirit. That means daily time. That means weekly time at church. That means time with Christian friends where you're talking about the things of God. So fill your life with the things of the Spirit. And then the Spirit will have an opportunity to control more of you. Does that make sense? You are what you eat. Sometimes that hurts. Some of us might be a Twinkie. Some of us are a beefsteak. But no, seriously. Garbage in, garbage out. You are what you take in. So take in the Spirit or take in the flesh. That 180 months that you spend behind the TV, what are you watching? Watching the flesh? Watching the Spirit? Live the Spirit-filled life. One of the things that I was woke up in the middle of the night last week, I think around Tuesday, was it wasn't the middle of the night, but it was in the wee hours of the morning. And so I got up and I said, I know what I was thinking when I was laying there half asleep. So I got up and I did some looking in the Word. And I talked to Lori the other day about what I was going to talk on, and I'm going to temper that a little. But that one verse said, take advantage of every opportunity. Amen? Do you remember that? And we have an opportunity here to reach out to people who are hurting from hurts, habits, and hang-ups. It's called Celebrate Recovery. It's a huge opportunity. It's big. It's a God-sized opportunity. It's a life-saving opportunity. And it takes a lot of people to do Celebrate Recovery. It's a big job. And I preached on yielding last week, and I thought, you know, part of recovery is yielding, and yielding is allowing God to work in our lives and control us and allowing Him to use us as His ministers. Because I am not the minister. I'm one of the ministers, and so are you. We're all ministers. We're all little Christ, right? That's called a Christian, little Christ. So we're all Christians. We're all in this together, and we all need each other, and we all need the Lord, and we all need to be about the opportunities that God's placed before us, and Celebrate Recovery is one of them. And it hurt me Sunday night when there was six of us. When I mentioned that we needed all hands on deck. We need everybody because there's so many jobs. There's childcare, there's food services, there's small group, there's large group, there's music, it's like church. And in church, we we need people. We got to have Sunday school teachers. We have to have small group leaders. We have to have a large group leader. We have to have all the, and we have to have backups for each of these. And here's what Celebrate Recovery looks like, if you just want a kind of a glimpse of it, for those who don't know. You come and you have a meal, and you fellowship, and you make connections and friends, and you have that fellowship time, and that's important. And then you have a large group, and the large group is a lot like church. You have music. It's a lot like our worship here. We have music, and you have a message. And you also give out some awards for people who have been in recovery. And you talk about the recovery that we talked about, that we preached through, all them things that are going on. And then you go into your small groups, and the men and the women are divided, so we need people to help with the women's small group and people to help with the men's small group. And we have a few of them, but we don't have everybody we need. We need lots more people, and we don't have people for childcare. We need lots of people. We need all hands on deck, because it's an important ministry of our church. And when we brought the ministry before the church and in the business meeting and we voted on it, there was not one dissenting vote. It was unanimous. But when the rubber meets the road, we have some flat tires. And I say that with a hurting heart. And with love, we need you all, every one of you. We need you. Would you stand with me and pray? Father God, I pray that you would help us to see the opportunities and seize the moments. For time is fleeting, the days are evil. The evil one wants to snatch away more and more of our time. The evil one wants to throw more and more busyness in our life. And Lord, you tell us to live not as foolish people, but as wise people, and to take advantage of the moments. Lord, help us to see where you're at work and allow you to use us in that work. Lord, when we come to worship you once a week on Sunday, we see what you have done through the week. Lord, we pray that we would be more about Sunday attenders and that we would be completely filled with the Spirit and allow you to work in every circumstance in our life every day. Help us to take in more of you. Help us to relinquish more of our life to you, that we might be filled with your Spirit. And we'll praise and glorify you. We'll be thankful. We'll be grateful for all that you do, all the blessings that come, Lord. We look forward to the fruits of the Spirit being displayed in our lives as we follow you. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen. We're going to be singing page 312.
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we'd ask you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe you died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in you alone for my salvation, and I accept your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in the local church and share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to email our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.